the river of miracles was dammed up by the wall of doubt in his own hometown. Doubt quenches the Spirit. I'll tell you something else. Division quenches the Holy Spirit. Division. The Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. I'll tell you this, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is unity. Man, I come on this campus now, you know what I see in faculty? Unity. You know what I see in a student body? Unity. You know what I see in a seminary campus? Unity. You know why? The Spirit of God's in this place. You've come together and said, we don't have to always dot every theological I and cross every theological T exactly the same way. I don't agree with Dr. Patterson on every single theological truth. It's America. He's got a right to be wrong. That's the point. But you know what? In all seriousness, we probably don't disagree on 0.001% of theology, and what we do is irrelevant. But he loves Jesus, and I love Jesus. He wants to see people saved, and I want to see people saved. He wants this seminary to turn out Bible-believing preachers of the Word of God, and I want this seminary to turn out Bible-believing preachers of the Word of God. And that's why we're together, and nobody can separate us. Dwight L. Moody said, I have never yet known the Spirit of God to work where the Lord's people were divided. Listen to me. Two Christians who are filled with the Holy Spirit may disagree, but they cannot be disagreeable. I agree with what Billy Sunday said. He said, the worst thing that ever crawled out of the pit of hell is a church fight. How blessed it is when brethren dwell together in unity. Division quenches the Spirit. I'll tell you something else. By the way, let me just go ahead and say this. Man, I'm ended up, I'm going to give you the whole bail today. Southern Baptist Convention is not divided. We're not divided. I love everybody. I mean, I really do. So I said, well, what about the CBF? What about these people who have left? Well, you've heard the old story, I'm sure, about the old farmer driving down the road in his pickup truck, and his wife was sitting all the way on the other side of the cab. She looked at him and she said, you know, when we first started dating, we sat right next to each other. He looked at her and said, I ain't the one that moved. Hey, folks, I hadn't gone anywhere, and I'm not going anywhere. Because home is where denomination loves the Word of God. Division, doubt, disobedience quenches the Holy Spirit of God. Listen carefully. Why has God given you the Holy Spirit? Not for your enjoyment, but for His employment. God has given you the Holy Spirit to lead you to do what He wants you to do. And when the Holy Spirit leads you to do something and you don't do it, you quench the Holy Spirit. Let me give you an example. Have you ever had the experience of knowing the Holy Spirit was telling you to pray, but instead of praying, you turned on your television? You ever had the Holy Spirit lay on your heart? You haven't read your Bible today. You ought to pick up your Bible and read the Word of God, but instead you picked up a newspaper? You ever been standing at a checkout counter in a store and the Holy Spirit of God said to you, this lady's lost, would you please give her a witness? And instead, you didn't say anything? You didn't even know what you were doing, but what you were doing was you were quenching the Holy Spirit of God. Disobedience. And one last thing, and this is the most subtle one of all, disinterest quenches the Holy Spirit. Remember what I told you? In the Bible, the Holy Spirit is a fire. Now, you can only do one of two things with a fire. You can throw water on it and put it out. Or you can throw fuel on it and make it bigger. You know what's happening on this campus? Dr. Patterson, when I came here 3 years ago, I had a good time. But it wasn't like this. When I came here 2 years ago, it was a sweet experience, Dr. Aiken, but it wasn't like this. When I preached here even a year ago, pretty good. Wasn't like this. But I want to tell you, my brother back there, now he is fuel for the fire. Now, what is the fuel that intensifies the fire of the Holy Spirit? Well, number one, there's the fuel of praise. Look in verse 16. He says, rejoice always. Then there's the fuel of prayer. Verse 17 says, pray without ceasing. Then there's the fuel of thanksgiving. Verse 18 says, in everything, give thanks. Then there's the fuel of preaching. Verse 20 says, do not despise prophecies. Preacher, I want to tell you tonight, when people walk into a church and they find a praising people and a thanksgiving people and a praying people and they hear a hot man of God give a hot sermon from a hot pulpit, you'll find there the Holy Spirit of God's real in that place. And the fire will be burning bright. Have you ever been in a dead church? You know what a dead church is? Let me give you the theological definition of a dead church. A dead church is simply where the Holy Spirit has been quenched. Hey, have you ever had somebody, have you ever been to a church and walked out of that church and said, man, that was a cold church? You ever been to a cold church? Hey, you didn't know it, but you weren't talking physically, you were talking theologically. You know why it was cold? The fire was out. They'd quenched the Holy Spirit. The fire was gone. Somebody wrote to a friend and said, how are things going down at your church? He wrote back and said, please pray for us. He said, the blower is on, but the furnace is out. Southern Baptist Convention churches, we're full of them. I mean, we got so many churches. They've got programs, but they don't have power. They have function, but they don't have fire. They have harmony, but they don't have heat, because they have quenched the Holy Spirit of God. I heard about a man who went to see one of those atomic power plants where they generate power, electric energy. A next-door neighbor of his worked at that power plant, and he told him, he said, anytime you're down at the plant, come on down and I'll give you a tour of the plant. So the man happened to be by there one day, didn't have a whole lot to do. He went in and he said, John, he said, you got some time to take me around the plant? He said, sure, I'd be glad to show you around. He said, well, may I ask you a question? He said, yes. He said, I see these gigantic pipes and these lines going across the ceiling and down here on the side of this wall. He said, you've got just tremendous energy going through there. He said, yes, we do. He said, man, I cannot believe how much energy you produce and how much power you put out. And the man said, we don't produce any power. He said, don't give me that. He said, I see the pipes. I see the wire. I can hear that energy surging through both. Don't tell me. I know that you produce a lot of power. He said, Jim, I'm telling you, we don't produce any power. And his neighbor said, explain that to me. He took him over to a room. It said, danger, do not enter. He said, do you know what's in that room? He said, what? He said, a ball of uranium. And then he said this. He said, Jim, we don't produce the power. We just release the power. Now, folks, I want to tell you something. You don't produce a synthetic Pentecost. You don't produce the power of the Holy Spirit. You release the power of the Holy Spirit. And what we need in every Southern Baptist church, afresh and anew, is the fresh wind of the Spirit of God blowing through our church. And I'll tell you tonight, if you'll respect the feelings of the Spirit, if you will receive the filling of the Spirit, and if you will release the freedom of the Spirit, I'll tell you what will happen. God will be magnified, Jesus will be glorified, the church will be edified, the family will be unified, the lost will be evangelized, the saved will be revitalized, and we will get the blessing, and God will get the glory. Now, having said all of that, I want to close with this. I know in this auditorium tonight, I know there are people here who are lost and who need to be saved. I want to say a word to you. If you've never committed your life to Christ, if you've never been saved, I want you just to listen to me for 2 minutes. I want you to pretend that nobody else is in this building. It's just you and me talking, just us. We're having a one-on-one conversation. I want you to listen carefully. I'm going to tell you truth, but I tell you the truth, understanding already, I can't talk you into believing that. Only the Holy Spirit can do it. There was a man named Jesus Christ who walked the face of this earth. Jesus made a claim that nobody else in history ever made. Jesus claimed to have died on the cross for your sins and mine. Jesus made another claim no other man in history has ever made. Jesus claimed to have come from the dead. Now, dear friend, one of two things have to be true. Either Jesus Christ was who he said he was, or he was not. If you die without Christ, let me tell you what your hope is. Your hope is he wasn't who he said he was. But I want to tell you tonight, that's a false hope. Somebody once asked Dr. George W. Truett, is Jesus Christ real to you? And George W. Truett, with tears streaming down his cheeks, says, Jesus Christ is more real to me than the skin on my flesh and the air that I breathe. I want to tell you tonight, lost person, Jesus is real. And I'll tell you why he's real. Because his corpse is not lying in some Syrian tomb. He's alive. He's alive in my heart, and he's sitting on the throne of this universe. And I want to tell you that Jesus loves you so much, he died just for you. The Holy Spirit's telling you that is true right now in your heart. I'm not doing it. The Holy Spirit is. And if you'll just let go and let the Holy Spirit of God have his way in your life, I'll tell you what he'll do for you. He'll open your eyes. He'll help you see the truth of what I've said. He will cause you to come to repentance. He will open up the door of your heart. He will let Christ, the Savior, come into you, and you will never be the same again. So I want every head bowed, and I want every eye closed. No one moving and no one stirring. I want you to trust me on something tonight. I know most of you here are saved. And I know most of you here do believe in the power of prayer. You just believe me when I tell you there are people here tonight who are lost. And they need to be saved. And in the next few minutes, would you just right now in your heart just begin to pray fervently for the Holy Spirit of God to bring people to Jesus? You may be sitting next to somebody or in front of somebody or behind somebody and they're lost and they need Jesus. Believing in the ministry of the Holy Spirit the way we do, would you begin to pray right now, Holy Spirit, convict that person of sin, righteousness, and judgment? Would you ask the Holy Spirit right now to open eyes and open hearts to the truth of the gospel? And would you ask the Holy Spirit not only to save the lost, but would you ask the Holy Spirit to then draw them to Jesus? And if you're sitting in a pew tonight, and you're a grown man, and there are some grown men here tonight who are lost, you're headed for hell just as sure as I'm standing in this pulpit. If you die tonight, you're going to hell if you don't get saved. If there's some grown women here, some teenagers, little boys, little girls, and you now understand, it's not a coincidence you came here. It was providence you came here. God's got an appointment for you to meet Jesus. If you're sitting in that pew and you'd say, I've never been saved, but I want to be saved. I want to know when I walk out this building tonight that if I die, I'm going to heaven. Then I want you to pray this prayer right now. I'm going to pray it out loud. I want you to pray it in your heart and just repeat it after me right now. Lord Jesus, I am a sinner and I'm lost and I need to be saved. I cannot save myself. But Lord Jesus, I accept by faith your death on the cross and your resurrection as payment for my sins. Lord, I repent of my sin. I surrender my life to you. I receive you as my Lord and as my Savior. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for hearing my prayer. And thank you for saving me tonight. In your name I pray. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I pray that every lost child, every lost teenager, every lost man, whether he be old or young, every lost woman, breakfast, drink a half a bottle of Johnny Walker Red and go to sleep. He'd get up about 5 in the afternoon and he'd spend the rest of the time killing the other half of that bottle of Johnny Walker Red, and then he'd go to work. That's what he did 6 days a week. On Sunday, he just drank all day. When my dad was 28 years old, somebody shared with him the message I shared with you about Jesus. My dad went out behind his barn. He had a half a bottle of that liquor in his hand. He got on his knees and he asked Christ to come into his heart and save him. When he got saved, he said to God, "The only thing I'll ever ask you to do is help me to win the battle over this bottle." He threw that bottle up against an old barn and it exploded into 1,000 pieces. And 52 years later, my dad's never touched a drop of alcohol. By the time I came along, I wasn't reared by Dad. That all happened before I was even born. By the time I came along, I wasn't reared by Dad, who drank and cursed and caroused and partied and abused my mother. I came along to a dad who taught me to love Jesus, taught me to believe the Bible was the Word of God, who took me to church, not sent me, who took me to church and sat in the pew with me. Even till I was a senior in high school, we sat together worshiping the Lord together. And I just say that just to say, the greatest gift that a father can give his own child is his own salvation. And I know there are people here who still need to be saved, and I just could not let it go without singing one of the stanzas. So, brother, I just want you to sing. Nobody else, not the choir, not anybody. I want everybody else to pray. I want you just to pray like you've never prayed before. If there's anybody lost, I don't want them to leave without Jesus. You pray right now for the people around you. And brother, you sing. And if there's a man, woman, boy, or girl, you need to be saved, but you've not come, step out right now and say yes to Jesus. While we sing.